Peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, welcome to Good Things Radio with your hosts, Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Welcome to episode 23 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I'm actually filling in this week, which feels funny, for my girl Jennifer as well. She's been going through some major sleep deprivation, as you may know, but oh my, you know, just with the loss recently of her father, the ministry work, the mom hats of all of us wearing that, and we know how that can be. Just a moment where I think there's a lot on her proverbial plate that we just ask you to lift her up, to pray for her. But it's important for us to bring you Good Things Radio and to be there on a regular basis. And there's a lot to talk about. So it's just you and me today. And I'm feeling a little pressure, but I know we can do it. So we have a fun show. We've got a lot to get to sprinkled in. We are going to talk a little bit about everything. The question of, do moms have a moral obligation to dress nice when dropping off or picking their kids up from school? That wouldn't even register in my brain because I wouldn't even think of that. But there was a feedback email that came in that begs the question. So we're going to go there. We'll talk about it. I also want to tell you about an incredible little known movie that we stumbled across recently that I can't wait to tell you about. And of course, Pope Francis, his recent visit to the United States as well. We'll talk about that. First, though, if you would join me, let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, Good Shepherd, sweet Father, we thank you for the gift of fellowship, for the power of communication, for conveying the most important message known to man, that is the good news of the gospel. Help this show be a proclamation of that, whether through a goofy joke or a simple recipe. Lord, you be in my words, in the hearts of each precious listener in our audience today. Embolden us all with a fire of love, sisterhood, communication, brotherhood, and knowledge as we seek to live out our vocations courageously and serve you to the fullest with every beat of our heart, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, since it's still the top of the news and in top of many hearts, for sure, I want to start with the World Meeting of Families, which was the occasion, of course, that Pope Francis was in town in the United States to visit the country. And we also know he addressed Congress, he spoke to the UN, and then, of course, culminating in Pennsylvania for the World Meeting of Families. But one of our Good Things Radio listeners was actually there, Vicky Lucky Duck, and she sent us an email. So she was kind of our reporter on the street after the fact and wanted to share with you what her thoughts were. She said, "Dear Brooke and Jennifer, my husband, younger son, and I traveled to Philly this past weekend." She said the two older had to work and school obligations, so we could not arrange it, but we were able to see the Holy Father's address at Independence Hall and see him on a few occasions during the parades and to attend Mass. In all caps, she says, it was awesome. It was such a moving experience that we will never forget for the rest of our lives. Boy, it just seems like anyone there has said that as well, that same feeling. And she said, on many occasions, I was so touched by the words and actions of the Holy Father that I was brought to tears. Thank you for being outspoken, honest about our faith and views. And she said, also a tip, after I listened to episode 22, a few thoughts on the many topics you discussed. Brooke, glad you were able to take the boys to Williamsburg. That was our last program. We talked a little bit about that experience of going back to 18th century colonial Williamsburg. But a great tip, she said, another place you might want to check out is Connor Prairie. It's in Fishers, Indiana. And she said it's a little cheaper, closer, and very hands-on. I'm all about cheaper these days and closer. That's not bad too. So for anybody else, if you're in the Midwest or in that area or you like to travel, I've never heard of that. Connor Prairie. Okay. Thank you, Vicky. I have to look that up. And guess what? Did you know We also have another piece of audio. We've got more feedback. And I have to thank you so much for your response, because in our last episode, as we closed the show, we talked that basically our feedback was down a little bit because our shows have been spotty. It's been tough to be consistent. And after I was listening, I thought, that sounds terrible. It sounds like we've lost all of our listeners. But I know you guys are there because we hear from you on Facebook and on social media. So to actually connect in this way is really encouraging. I am so grateful. And so the other piece of feedback and audio feedback that we received is from Whitney in Indiana, speaking of Indiana. So she's got a little tidbit for us as well. Whitney.
Hi, Brooke and Jennifer. This is Whitney in Indiana. I just wanted to call and leave some voice feedback because you said your feedback has gone down a little bit in recent episodes. So here I am. I really enjoyed listening to you. I really enjoyed listening to you talk about the Pope's visit and watching that on the Catholic stations there on television. I don't know why that never occurred to me, and I was mostly just watching it on the local news. It probably would have been better to have the Catholic station's point of view on that. But maybe next time. Who knows when that will be. But anyway, also I wanted to know, are you still talking about perhaps doing a women's retreat next year? I know I was really interested. It's where I am. It's definitely hard to get together with other like-minded people, Catholic moms around me, and it would be great to have a time in fellowship with the both of you and all the other listeners. So I just wanted to check on that and see where we are, if that's going to come about. Okay, thanks so much. I really enjoy your show. Bye.
Oh, all good stuff. Thank you, Whitney. Okay, so that's a great question, the retreat. And first of all, God bless all of you for your patience. We had such a monumental response. Really, it was far more than I expected. And I can't remember how many states we heard from. I want to say it was at least over 20, if not 30, from listeners that wrote in and participated in a survey of wanting to get together, wanting to have some sort of meetup or retreat or renewal. And that's where we kind of left it. We captured all this data and said, how much money would you like to spend? How far do you want to travel? What kind of experience are you looking for? Because in this stage, so let's say a mom's retreat we're talking about, because it could really be anything. There's so many listeners in the audience of different walks of life. It could be a widow. It could be someone that is not a mom, and that's fine too. So a women's retreat. And in this case, that's what we were focusing on. But also being sensitive to the cost, because some that wrote us on the West Coast might not be able to make it to Maine or North Carolina or something. So that's been our biggest challenge. Should we do a couple different locations? Should we just start small and do one central location? And what in some ways amazed me, but then in other ways did not amaze me at all, because I just know the kind of women and listeners that you are. We received a lot of people saying, hey, I'm willing to carpool, or I would like to travel with someone, or I can, if it would help the cost of the hotel, I can have a roommate. So that spirit was so awesome. And then the bad thing is we kind of dropped the ball. And I don't want to even say that in a guilt-ridden way, although that's how I feel. But it really was a matter of adjusting our priorities and what is the proper order of our life. And for Jennifer and I, as we walk through, and I know so many of you as you're listening feel this same way, you're just trying to keep the balls that you have in the air on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And we know, both of us, from initiating and being behind the scenes at a lot of these different events or ministries, that it takes a lot of work. And it wasn't just something that we could commit to at the time. But to go back to your question, Whitney, it is something that we have not forgot about. We recognize that there's a need. And I've been so blessed recently to partner with a dear friend of mine. His name is Father Nathan Cromley. Maybe you've heard of him. And if you haven't, you've got to look him up, because he's amazing. And you are going to be hearing more about him because, well, God has big plans for him. But it's Eagle Eye Ministries that he founded. And he goes all over the United States and he speaks to women. And he said, as we were talking on the phone today, he said, there is such a drought of spiritual edification for Catholic moms. And that is the same heart and spirit of why we founded this podcast. Is some churches are very vibrant. He said, you go to Texas and there's a 2,000 seat event just for women. And in other areas, you can't get two people, but it's not because they're not there. It's just a matter of mobilizing and communicating and putting the opportunity out there. So that's the takeaway. We know there's a need and we know there is a desire. So it's just a matter of making that happen. But Whitney, I promise you, it's not something that's been blown off. And my personal life is now in a different stage. We've had some changes, which I'll tell you about in future episodes, which are good. But it also opens up my schedule a little bit more to work on those types of things. So that's, I guess, the biggest statement is that we thank you for your patience. And we promise that it's not something that we've forgotten and we do want to follow up on. And we'll keep you posted as the months goes on, maybe the weeks go on, because things are brewing, things are germinating right now. And that's a good thing. Okay, so our next topic that I wanted to mention was an email that we received. Look at all these emails and feedback. Oh my goodness, you guys are awesome. Thank you. I love it. It was like Christmas because, you know, in opening your email, you know how it is when you see something from someone that you really love or that you want to get to know. It's like, oh, what did they say? So thank you for that. And the next one is from Marlia. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, Marlia didn't personally chime in, but we connected about this particular topic directly, and it was something she posted. So this is what she said. She says, please, to parents, to moms in particular, stop wearing your headscarves and pajamas to your kids' school. If I see you in the office or at an event dressed like you're at a sleepover at the school, I will be forced to tell you about yourself. Be classy and not lazy. How you dress and behave will ultimately play a major role in the choices that your children make. Thanks in advance. Now, I was feeling after I read this email like she was talking about me. I thought she has a drone and clearly has been hovering over my son's high school in the car rider line to see that I have sweatpants on and I'm not dressed appropriately, even though I don't even get out of the car. But I just was very much feeling like, oh my gosh, she's totally talking about me. And she's right. But then on the other hand, I really had to stop and think about this, because my initial response, other than just feeling guilty and that I'm a slob, was that that was a little harsh. And I love Marlia. And I said, can I talk about this? And she said, oh, of course, yes. And there were so many people that totally agreed and that were encouraging and saying, yes, it's so important to set a standard. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need to convey that confidence to our children. But I also have to admit that there have been many, not just one little fleeting stage, but times in my life where that has been me. And it's not because I'm lazy or I don't care or I'm not a hardworking person or a good mom, but because simply, well, I was tired, but also it wasn't a priority. And having a large family, going a million miles an hour for many years, getting up at 2 a.m. and working and then having a full day after that, I did not look my best at the car rider line, I'll be honest. But I also know other friends that have been going through things, maybe a sick parent, maybe they're a caregiver at that moment. And my first thought always is, oh my gosh, I have to pray for them. And it doesn't matter if it's someone that I know or that I don't know. It's so easy to look at the shell, to look at the outside and to make a fleeting judgment. And I'm not saying that every single person deserves a pass, because there are some that maybe just need to get their act together. Maybe there's some tough love that needs to occur and they need to know that it's important to, you know, to have be a good example. But I think more than anything, and as Pope Francis talked about this, it's mercy. And we, in our past podcasts, have talked about makeup and hair color and hair length and the amount of makeup. And at the end of the day, it always comes back to virtue and the heart of the person, the soul of what makes that person, because they will be beautiful. They will be radiant with the light of Christ if they walk in that truth every day. And their children will see that more than they'll see a headscarf or pajamas or anything else. And again, something that we talked about on the show is being like Mary. It's something we often discuss, and I think a goal that we always strive to be. And I found something really interesting on, I think it was Catholic Answers. It was written by Michelle Arnold. And, you know, my idea of the long hair, short hair conversation we had for a while is, would Mary have short hair? Well, come to find out, my mom, who was a postulant, they had shaved her head. And that was an honor. What a privilege. She denounced the world and in all of its trappings. And it was a gift. And so she said, it doesn't matter what your hair looks like. And that's the same thought with this Catholic Answers article. It says, we're not called to be mimics of the Blessed Mother in terms of appearance, dressing as would be appropriate for a first century Palestinian woman or anything else. We're called to imitate the Blessed Mother in her virtues, in terms of modesty. That might mean dressing in a way that's appropriate to one's culture and circumstances, not drawing undue attention to oneself, either in one's dress or undress, remaining circumspect about one's own choices and not denouncing the reasonable choices of others. So I think that's always, at the end of the day, the best takeaway, the best wisdom is to just do the best we can and offer mercy and grace to others. And I appreciated my friend's comment because it offered an opportunity to really think how, in something as trivial as the way that I dress, what message am I putting out to myself, to the world? Have I forgotten about myself? Do I not care about myself? Because you hear that a lot in the culture. You don't want to lose yourself. Well, I think for Christian moms, it's always about serving and understanding the supreme call that we are asked to live out. And that's the vocation of motherhood. And sometimes we do get tired. And I think especially for women, and not always, men suffer from severe depression and high anxiety and stress. But I know for my husband, he's pretty much good to go unless he's hungry or something else. But for the most part, he's pretty even keel. Now me, with my hormones and my ups and downs and a good day, bad day, or a feeling the grief of, you know, the pain of those around me, or really having intense prayer, you know, circumstances where I feel helpless about something, I feel all the time like it is easy to be up and down and around and everything else. And now I lost my point. But the bottom line at the end of the day is to remember where our help comes from and to just celebrate where each one of us are and pray for peace in our own lives. And I think we can appreciate that as women, whether we're dressed in a business suit, because also that can be a moment of judgment. Maybe people are envious if they see someone buttoned up or make judgments that they're not a good parent because they're working and away from the house or whatever the case might be. So grace and mercy, to me, are the highlighted words that need to be emphasized and lived out in our practice. Okay, and speaking of grace and mercy, my oh my, I want to tell you about a movie that our family just stumbled across. Actually, I have to give credit to my oldest son, Gabriel, because he made the selection. It was one that I wanted to watch, and then the family was like, no way, this is boring, we're not in the mood. And then he came around, and I was so excited. He said, this is called Alive Inside. It looks cool. I was, oh yes, I know, remember we talked about this. And so he wanted to watch it. And what unfolded was a beautiful story of the power of music on an aging mind. And I think this can be expanded for anyone, someone who has had a stroke, someone who has autism, like my daughter. I see the effects of music on her brain, in her spirit, like nothing else. And before I go any further, I just want to play for you the trailer. And I know you can't see it, but to hear this documentary tease and to kind of bring you into the story that it explains. Take a listen. This is Alive Inside.
What do you think of music?
My heart belongs to music. I love it.
Have you ever had music just hit you in a place that immediately brought you to tears? Music has that power.
Music connects people with who they have been, who they are, and their lives. Because what happens when you get old is all the things you're familiar with and your identity are all just being peeled away.
Our healthcare system imagines the human to be a very complicated machine. We have medicines that can adjust the dials. Blood pressure, oh, turn that down. Blood sugar, oh, turn that down. We haven't done anything to touch the heart and soul of a patient.
One resident that barely opened her eyes, she didn't respond. Knew her for 2 years. Once we put the iPod on her, she started shaking her feet. She started moving her head. It was amazing.
Music has more ability to activate more parts of the brain than any other stimulus.
Well, I'm
am I?
Huh?
Who am I? I'm your daughter.
By exciting or awakening those pathways, we have a gateway to stimulate and reach somebody who otherwise is unreachable.
It can't get away from me if I'm in this place. It
takes me back to my school days. Oh, God, that's beautiful.
Does it make you happy to sing for us?
Yeah. I'm crying.
Every human being needs stimulation from the outside, from little babies to old people.
American culture is wrong. There is actually life beyond adulthood. There's the opportunity to live and grow and become elders. The aging that we experience holds in it very important learnings and lessons.
There is no pill that does that.
Excuse me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, so this is tears of joy.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to grow wings.
I was trying.
Oh, and I'm crying again. Oh, boy. Oh, it is so worth watching. So true. So powerful. And I think we all know the power of music. I don't think anyone listening right now can say that isn't so. And I was just reading a little bit about the power of music in terms of faith and how it has the power to stir our soul. It has the power to captivate our mind and bring us out like nothing else can. That's one of the elements in the film that I thought was so fascinating, was about how in just giving a patient in an elder care nursing home an iPad and some headphones, that can do more than years of medication, piles of prescription. It is proven. It is tracked. I just was reading. Studies have shown. This is a documented poll. Music therapy can also help lower blood pressure, regulate an individual's heart rate. We know that. It can affect the production of white blood cells, which leads to more rapid healing. It's also shown to be effective for those suffering from Down syndrome, autism, muscular dystrophy, as well as for adults with depression or anxiety, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease, women in labor. Uh-huh, I know that's right. And babies in the neonatal intensive care unit. This gift that comes from God for music. And it made me, after seeing this film, want to go out to every nursing home and just bring like a boombox 80s style and start playing the music and seeing what happened. Because I think the power of touch and the power of music are so holy and powerful. And I was just pulling up a really interesting clip from Pope Emeritus now, Benedict XVI. He talked a lot about the power of music, was really an advocate for traditional chant and the gift of the lofty melodies that elevate our spirits up to heaven. And that's what he talks about. He says he was in a situation where he encountered a friend and they had an experience with music. He said the encounter with the beautiful can be the wound of the arrow that strikes the heart and in this way opens our eyes, so that later from this experience, we take the criteria for judgment and can correctly evaluate the arguments. For me, he says, an unforgettable experience was at a Bach concert that Leonard Bernstein conducted in Munich after the sudden death of Carl Richter. I was sitting next to the Lutheran bishop when the last note of the great Thomas Cantor Cantatas triumphantly faded away. We looked at each other, and spontaneously, and right away, we said, anyone who has heard this knows that faith is true. The music had such an extraordinary force of reality that we realized, no longer by deduction, but by the impact on our hearts, that it could not have originated from nothingness, but only could have come to be through the power of the truth that became real in the composer's inspiration. Oh my, and now I'm crying again. But isn't that just poetic and beautiful and true? So long story short, it's a total thumbs up. Alive Inside is a film easy to find. You can get it on Netflix. You can get it on Amazon. It's free streaming, which is better yet. And I think even the library you can finally get. And I think it is one that is a family that you can watch, because we all have shared experiences through the soundtrack of our lives. And that's what it was talking about, finding the playlist for each one of these patients in the nursing home and how the genesis of the nursing home started. So it used to be before nursing homes, the poorhouse, and those that couldn't afford home care or a high level of care were in the poorhouse. And that was combined with hospitals. And that's what we have, nursing homes. And there are heroic, courageous saints every day in the nursing home atmosphere, from physicians to physical therapists to nurses. And they do an amazing work, and I'm sure glimpse heaven, but also great suffering. 50% of people in nursing homes do not receive visitors. So that was really eye-opening and a reminder to pray for all of those in that industry, those who work in the prisons. And overall, though, again, the truth that we never know what tomorrow will bring. And I think we've all known someone in a nursing home now. We don't know where we'll end up, what our story will look like. But the gift of when you invest in the dignity of someone, in their heart, what can really occur, how they come back to life. So that is, again, movie of the week, movie of the month. It's called Alive Inside. And I think that's about it for today. I feel like the show went really fast without Jennifer. I don't know what to do. I have a couple notes, though, while I still have, you're going to hear my papers rustling here, but I want to mention this because I forgot as we were reading Vicky's email and also Whitney's message about the Pope's visit and some takeaways, just so you know. And boy, ncregister.com, if you go to nationalcatholicregister.com, you will see a plethora of fantastic articles on everything from some highlights of the Pope's visit to the most powerful takeaways, the messages, because he had so many great things to say. And unless you were parked by the TV and watching that coverage, like Whitney was talking about on whatever, Fox News did a great job covering it. I was so encouraged by the amount of coverage. And just an interesting sidebar here, I also received a question on my Facebook page from my great buddy, my friend, my Lutheran friend, Chris. And he said, Brooke, can you answer this question? He said, my sister is asking why the media, Catholics, elevate the Pope as God. Why do we worship the Pope? And I should have actually had a canned response ready for that, because I remember working in radio as a Catholic in the last visit with Pope Benedict XVI, receiving that same question. In fact, it wasn't a question, it was an accusation. Not very kind. And I, you know, appreciated it because I take for granted that people kind of know we don't worship the Pope, but that's not the case. So it was a good opportunity to have a really wonderful dialogue. And I basically just said, and this is for anybody of any faith tradition listening, the reality is, and I'm not a scholar, I'm not a theologian, but in the truth of what our catechism says and what we know and believe is that the Pope is a beautiful light. He is the shepherd. He's the shepherd of our church. He's a voice of hope. He points the way, as you know, the moon illuminates the sun, but we do not worship him as God. That just isn't so. It would be a great error to do so. We don't worship Mary as well. And there's devotion, there's veneration, but it is not worship. And the best parallel I can give you as an example would be if you have pictures of your children on your desk. You love them, and so there's an image of them. So you see them and smile and think, thank you for their life. This is such a blessing to have this beautiful child that I love, or this parent, or this family. You don't worship them, though. Well, saints are wonderful examples of faith that we love and look to because they were human and had flaws just like us. So it's that reminder of, if they can do it, I can do it. It's the same when we see someone who's lost weight and it's like, yes, that's inspiring. Well, we don't worship them, but we admire them and we appreciate their effort because it elevates us to a plane of, we can do it if they can do it. And this human journey, that's what it's about. And with the Pope, yes, he comes with a special authority as the Vicar of Christ, but he's mortal. He's not perfect. And I think we can easily look around and see how often mortals are elevated to, look at American Idol, for example. That's the name of the show, to an idol position. But that doesn't mean that Christians, and especially Catholics, do that, live that out. It's not so. We love the Pope as a father, Papa Francesco. We love him. And that's about it. So I wanted to just cover that. I thought that was an important thing. And these are opportunities when we do have something like a papal visit to make a discussion out of it and to kind of brush up. That's what I think is nice, is it's a good challenge, because this is the thing I think that helps our country grow in tolerance and in appreciation and respect for each other, is a better understanding of what we really believe and why we believe it. So a couple just takeaways from Pope Francis's visit. Pope Francis cracked a joke during, I feel really bad, I should be starting with the super profound statements I just pulled this highlight about him telling a joke, but it's cute. He says, during a speech about the importance of family, that children could be a headache, adding, and I won't speak about mother-in-laws. Later, he told the crowd, I love my mother-in-law, by the way. Judy, I love you. I just want to say that. Later, he told the crowd, we'll see each other at Mass tomorrow. And he turned to his left and said, what time is Mass tomorrow? That's cute. All of us need to be cleansed and to be washed. That's what he told prisoners at Curran Fromhold Correctional Facility. That was in Northeast Philadelphia. He said, in me, in the first place. Prisoners were chosen to be with Pope Francis. I don't know where my other page went. But again, that quote, all of us need to be cleansed and to be washed. There's no rushing Pope Francis when there's babies to be kissed. Unofficial count is Francis kissed 14 babies and 4 youngsters, including one in a Batman shirt, during his 2-day stay in Philadelphia. That was just in Philadelphia. That's not including New York and when he was in Washington. And I think we all saw those images where he was embracing the young man with cerebral palsy and those that have, whether it's medically fragile challenges or special needs, those are the images that are just so profound because we know that's Jesus. As Jesus holds and consoles and heals where we need his love and his divine hand. And I think that's what is so refreshing and beautiful about our Holy Father. There's also a picture on Instagram. Pope is Hope is the account, and it says, these are the knots that Pope Francis stopped to bless before Mass today. Each knot represents a struggle or burden of someone who has visited the grotto or has sent their request in. When visitors come, they're encouraged to add their own knot, and even better yet, they're encouraged to undo a knot, symbolizing the release of pressure and burden on another person. Thank you, Project Home, for a wonderful display of your ceaseless work to end poverty and homelessness. So again, it's a neat account. It's called Pope is Hope on Instagram. Just a few of the highlights, and it would be impossible to do justice and cover it all, because from Pope Francis's address to Congress, to the UN, to the wonderful spontaneous humor and photos of his smiling that, you know, were displayed. It was just such an uplifting experience and a proud moment, I think, for us all to be Catholic. And then the interview on the way back to Rome when he was on the airplane, that was really strong and encouraging as well. And things are still unfolding as we hear about private meetings that he had and conversations that took place as he met with Kim Davis. And she was the woman in Kentucky who refused to sign the marriage licenses and then was punished for it. And he encouraged her and said, be strong. And I think a lot of times the media doesn't focus on that aspect of him, but that orthodox truth remains, and he did a good job of being firm on that, gentle but firm. So another fantastic experience for our country that offers hope in a time that I know we very much need it. Thank you so much for joining me today on Good Things Radio. I missed my friend Jennifer, but she will be back for the next episode. And as always, we love hearing from you. And oh, before I forget, I want to invite you, and maybe by the time you hear this, it'll be past, but a big thank you, I guess, as well as an invitation to the Beauty of the Feminine. It's a women's retreat in Zanesville, Ohio. It's coming up on October 3rd. I'll be there speaking. Just so grateful for the opportunity. And I love each woman that is in attendance. I don't know them yet, but I love them. I've been praying for them, as well as the speakers, the volunteers, the workers, and just really expectant, excited that the Lord is going to do amazing things as he always surpasses expectations, especially when it comes to grace. So if you're in that neck of the woods, it's in Zanesville, Ohio, which I don't even really know where that is exactly. I think it's by Columbus, but it's called The Beauty of the Feminine, and it's on Facebook as well as a website that they have as well. It's once a year. It's an annual retreat. Thank you so much to the coordinators, for Susie and everybody, for allowing me to be a part of the event. If you're interested in inviting me to speak, I would love to, and just feel, especially for women's ministries, that's where my heart is. So stgabrielmedia.com is the website. Of course, the Willits are always busy and jumping around from place to place, and you can find them at newevangelizers.com, and they've got like 42 websites and counting, I think, plus their podcast, which is Adventures in Imperfect Living. We didn't even talk about the name change, but their podcast changed from the Catholics Now next door. So hopefully Jennifer will fill us in when she's back on our next episode. We do have some changes also coming down the pike as well. So we just ask for your continued prayers and patience for us as we're excitedly anticipating what the Lord is going to do with this little program as well. If you want to help us increase the visibility of our show and you could spare a few minutes, it would be awesome if you could head over to iTunes and search Good Things Radio in the podcast directory. Leave a positive review, please. And only if you mean it. That helps us a lot because it raises the visibility. It helps others find us as well. And that's our hope and prayer. And the feedback, of course, you know, it's ridiculous how excited I get when you actually chime in. So feedback at goodthings.radio is the place to find us. And just drop us a note. Send us your feedback, your input, your opinion, your prayer requests, and tell a friend. Join the conversation. We're grateful. Thank you for listening to episode 23 of Good Things Radio. God bless you. Until next time.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cumminghomestudio.com.